Grant, the general-in-chief, traveling with the army, giving orders to George Gordon Meade, the commander of the Army of the Potomac, but also giving orders to Ambrose Burnside, who was sort of floating off to the side as commander of the Ninth Corps, not the neatest chain of command on the Union side during the Overland Campaign, what would be called the Overland Campaign. Grant's army, just about 120,000 men at the outset of the campaign. Lee, 64,000 plus or minus a few, divided in the same manner it had been during the Gettysburg Campaign. Three corps. James Longstreet, his senior subordinate, his most trusted subordinate, commanded the First Corps. Richard Stoddart Ewell commanded the Second Corps, most of Jackson's old command. And Ambrose Powell Hill, A.P. Hill, commanded the Third Corps. Jeb Stuart commanded the Confederate cavalry. Philip Sheridan would be his opposite number. Sheridan had gone east with Grant. He was put in command of all the cavalry in the Army of the Potomac. He'd never really commanded cavalry before, but that is what he's doing now. The odds against the Confederates are thus about 2-1, just about 2-1. And Grant and Meade were optimistic. They believed that if they did a competent job, Lee would not be able to fend off their blows in the upcoming campaign. They believed they had enough men and enough materiel and enough competence among their officers and resolution among their men to defeat the rebels. They expected that they would drive Lee into the fortifications of Richmond, bleed him along the way, and then they believed that a siege likely would end in Union victory. And that is what Lee feared most of all, a siege. He knew that if he were pushed into the defenses at Richmond, if his army were forced to hunker down behind the very strong fortifications at Richmond, all advantages would pass to the Federals, and that siege would end as almost every other siege during the Civil War ended. That is with a United States victory. All right, those are the forces as we're moving in to the first stage of the Overland Campaign. Let's now look at the first big battle of this confrontation between Grant and Lee. That is the Battle of the Wilderness, fought on May 5 and 6, 1864. The armies would be maneuvering in the beginning of the campaign over the same ground they had contested during the Chancellorsville Campaign, almost precisely 1 year before. It's that several dozen square miles of scrub, second and third growth area, known as the Wilderness of Spotsylvania. Again, very few roads go through the area. Very few farmsteads break the clutches of that tangled landscape. Lee, if he could catch Grant at a disadvantage in this area, would be able to offset, to a degree, the Union advantages in artillery and in numbers. For his part, Grant was willing to fight Lee anywhere. He would fight him in the wilderness. He'd march beyond the wilderness, maneuver, and fight him again. His main goal is to come to grips with the rebels, although probably he thought it would be better to have a little room for maneuver rather than to fight in the depths of the wilderness. But mainly what Grant wants to do is get across the Rappahannock and Rapidan Rivers, start to slip around Lee's right flank, and then see what would develop on the way to Richmond. The Union Army crossed the Rapidan River fords, Ely's Ford and Germanna Ford, on May the 4th. He began right on time, did Grant. That's one of his traits as a soldier. He sets a date or a time to do something. He generally met that timetable. The next day, on May 5th, Lee's army, two-thirds of it, advanced along two roads to come to grips with the Federals. Richard Ewell was the northern part of Lee's army, the northernmost part of it, advancing eastward along the Orange Turnpike. A.P. Hill's Third Corps was south of Ewell, advancing eastward along the Orange Plank Road. These are two roads that extend from Fredericksburg, Virginia to Orange Courthouse. Both of them travel through the wilderness of Spotsylvania. Ewell made contact first, and soon a fight grew between Ewell's Confederates and Federals of Gouverneur Warren's Fifth Corps, the Union Army. The wilderness was so thick in this area that control of troops was very difficult. Soon fighting also flared to the south when elements of A.P. Hill's Third Corps became engaged with elements of Winfield Scott Hancock's Second Corps. Fighting grew there too. More and more men fed into these two corridors, these road corridors through the wilderness,